Yes, please, please come close. This is going to be an intimate dialogue at the end. I have been given the task to facilitate the last session, the closing session. We will start the closing session with Stefan Mariansky, who will tell us about the archives and what is happening. As you know, the Ferenczi archives are here in the Freud Museum, and he will tell us about how they're being treated.
Thanks. Can you all hear me? Okay. So I'm not very good at public speaking. I'll try. I'm Stefan. In addition to being the tech guy, I'm also the archive and education assistant at the Freud Museum, and I was in charge of preparing the Ferenczi archive catalogue. So I've just got a few words to say about that, and then I'll hand over. Won't be long. The Ferenczi archive was generously donated to the Freud Museum last year by Dr. Judith Dupont, who took over the role of Ferenczi's literary representative from Michael Balance. Dr. Dupont entrusted the documents to the Freud Museum on the condition that they be preserved for future generations and made available to anyone wishing to view them. The archive is a veritable treasure trove of research. It contains numerous unpublished documents and provides a window into Ferenczi's world, both his inner world and his outer world. Many facets of Ferenczi's life and work are represented in the collection, including his early work as a medical doctor, the development of his interest in psychoanalysis, his meeting, friendship, and subsequent estrangement with Freud, his efforts to establish psychoanalysis in Hungary, and his own contributions to psychoanalytic theory and technique, most significantly the clinical diary. Also reflected in the collection is Ferenczi's personal life, including papers related to his parents, Bernhard Frankl and Rosa Eibenschütz, his siblings, his wife, Gisela, and his stepdaughters, Elmar Lalvik and Magda Ferenczi. In addition to papers relating directly to Ferenczi's life and work, many of the papers are related to the actions of Ferenczi's literary executors, principally Michael Balance, to propagate his work and secure his reputation after his death. Finally, the collection reveals details of the impact of political upheavals of the 20th century in Hungary in relation to both the psychoanalytic movements and everyday life. And I should add on that note that quite frequently when you catalogue archives, you become kind of feel a bit distanced and you start to relate to the documents as kind of neutral objects. But in this particular archive, it hasn't been the case at all. It's been an absolutely fascinating and also quite moving and tragic story that the archive tells. So I'm going to say, just very quickly, I'm going to say a few things about what we've been doing. Over the past 6 months, the Freud Museum has been working to rehouse, conserve, and catalogue the Ferenczi material. The archive has been comprehensively catalogued to ISADG standards. That's the international gold standard in archive description, using our recently acquired AdLib archive software. All the museum's archive databases will be migrated to AdLib in due course, and we're looking into ways of making that catalogue searchable online so that researchers will be able to use it from a distance. The archive, for the purpose of cataloguing, the collection has been divided into 7 headings: correspondence between Ferenczi and Freud, correspondence between Ferenczi and colleagues other than Sigmund Freud, correspondence between people other than Sandor Ferenczi, professional papers, personal and family papers, photographs, and posthumous papers and publications. And I should emphasize that when you're dealing with a subject that really blurs the boundary between the personal and theoretical aspects of one's life and work, these are just artificial constructions. They're just purely intellectual constructions in order to make some, to bring some accessibility to the collection. Each series has been further subdivided into files. Descriptions have been created at file, subseries, series, and collection level in order to make it as easy as possible for staff and researchers to find material on the catalogue. A feature will be shortly added to our website, as I mentioned, to make it searchable online. And just to the last thing, conservation. During the cataloguing process, Several records were identified as needing conservation, including the clinical diary, and we just appointed a paper conservator who's going to be doing that work in the next few days. And just a final couple of things. This is a kind of appeal to researchers as well, and we really do encourage researchers to start using this archive, start paying us a visit. It's viewable by appointment, and things like researchers are a really valuable resource for us as well, because the more researchers that come to visit, the more closely we can do things like approximate dates and get the level of description as high as possible. So we really encourage you to make an appointment and come and view some of these collections, and that will be much easier once the catalogue's online. And last of all, I'm not sure if Judith DuPont's here, but just to extend my thanks. Is she here? Okay, well, I'll say anyway that... she's not here, but in any case, I'll just say that I'm very grateful for her personally, because it's been a really fascinating 6 months of work, and I've really felt like I've become a lot more familiar with Ferenczi and appreciative of his contribution. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Stefan. I think it's really interesting, because we started with the archives in the first with Kit Fortune and Billy. Are they both here? And sorry, you were always sitting at the back. Then it was almost as if, you know, we started in the underground of Ferenczi's life and works. Then we had these days of talking. It's like the conscious discourse. And now we end with Stefan's the underground, the basement, the archives. So I just would like to open a discussion. Perhaps we could talk about the archives or whatever you... So this is...
I don't know if it is a job who can start from the archive, but we need a complete English translation of Ferenczi, because many papers in the English are not translated. And many papers in the first volume and some papers of the second volume, the two volumes edited by Jones, have published paper not completed and different from the Italian translation, the Italian translation from made by an Hungarian, Molnar, who worked on the Hungarian and German papers and not following the English. Because in the English translation, for example, when I have to quote the paper from 1908 to 20, all the part, for example, referring to a mother, Arca, there is also only the father, and all the parts of the papers new, not referring to some classical input, disappear. And so it's very useful to have the complete translation and making complete his first papers. And also the papers, for example, the conference in Madrid, but many other present in the Spanish, French, and Italian translation, but not in the English one. And are very important papers, not something which can not have.
Thanks, Franco, to bring this up, because I was very, very glad that we keep saying that what a fantastic gold mine this archive is, and the archives which are still there and might be coming in to one place to enrich each other. But talking about the Ferenczi archive, But today we had two presentations. It's Tom and Ferry, who really used material what they found in the archives. And it's really, you know, just your mouth drops, no? What is there and how you can really show it for the first time to the world. And now that we are together, not only the UK, but the rest of the world, I think it's also a possibility to think together about what we can really do to support these things, because Franco is absolutely right, but it needs money, needs time, needs people. So what can we really do for it together? And let me say it here that we've been thinking through these 3 days, which were really a great experience for me as well, that after all, we are the first post-war generation in a sense. And we have inherited many things, inherited many transgenerational traumas, but also inherited some good parenting. And Ferenczi's legacy belongs there somehow. So, looking around, what we can see is that we grew up, we are the adults now. And it's for us to see what we can do with what we have and what we achieve. So that would be my...
A few months ago, there was a conference in Vienna on the archives, and I think André Heinel was there, and I think no one from this conference. It was very interesting, but it turned out that there's practically no cooperation between the archives, psychoanalytic archives around the world, or very few. I don't know the present situation. Maybe now the Freud Museum has a connection to the Freud Museum in Vienna, but there's another collection in Vienna. The Viennese Psychoanalytic Association has an archive now, and there are many other archives in Budapest, of course, is an archive, and there is New York, Washington. So I think it would be good to have some kind of a catalog which one can see what can be found in which archives in the world. And I think you mentioned Derrida before, the geopsychoanalyst. I would like to mention another work by Derrida. It's the Malarchiv. I don't know what is the English title. Malarchiv, the archive fever, where Derrida tries to understand why do we need archives, and the archive is nothing like a dead thing where we put papers and all the stuff, but it's something which should be created and recreated all the time, and we construct the archive, not simply we collect things, but we what we doing an archive, we construct the past, and that's an interesting problem itself for psychoanalysis. What does it mean? What is the meaning of archives, and why do we want to have archives? And to the question of Franco, it's a long plan to make a complete critical edition of Ferenczi, collecting all the texts published in different languages. It's very difficult because sometimes the Hungarian text and the German text are not the same. He had the same title, but if you read, then it turns out that he put added or he took away something. So it is a, and I heard in Vienna, Vienna now that the German, in Vienna, they are now planning a new critical edition of Freud, absolutely new, and with all the texts which were never published, and to to include all the drafts and versions and literature on each text. And they said it will take about 15 years to publish the whole series, because which will be very different from the Gesamtausgabe. So I think that I think it will be the task of our students and next generation to make a Ferenczi, a full edition. But you know, there are some web pages where, for example, you can find the Hungarian publications of Ferenczi, and which indicates the German or English versions as well.
Something, an idea. Would it be possible, do you think, that somebody, or this could be the outcome of this conference, that there's a list of the archives, I mean, for psychoanalytical research, to have, a list of the archives? That, I mean, if everybody brought it together where they, what they know, would that be possible? Is that?
I am Dawn from the Freud Museum. We actually have another project running in parallel at the moment of an Anna Freud project, which is we have a German-speaking archivist who is creating a catalogue for the Anna Freud archive, which also will probably include all of our Freud material, our original Freud material. But she has been in touch with many archives internationally as well who hold other Anna Freud materials. And we will certainly have a kind of fairly comprehensive list of that, which we will actually have on the website. But going forward, what we can do, of course, as Judith says, this needs money and it needs resource. But now that we've got the basic structure for a Ferenczi archive, and we have had some things digitized, we can work on a plan to get in contact with all of you in this room, to show what we have digitized and to see what we can actually do in agreeing some sort of translations. It might mean that if three people, somebody can do an initial translation of even if it's just one or two papers, and they can be then checked by another two people for corrections. It's at least providing some material on site, and it's a way. I mean, you're probably aware, many of you from academic backgrounds are more aware than I of the way that the semantic web is going, where we would have those documents and then people, a controlled group of people that we know are experts in the field, perhaps of forensic scholarship, could add comment to these documents and build it from there. So I'm certainly happy for the Freud Museum to propose a sort of a way forward, where with little or no resource just now, but except the goodwill of everyone and expertise of everyone here, we can start on some translations of the material.
Judith, to name it, some consultant for this kind of job. Three or four of us are consultant. Yes, she named some person to help in this work. I would like that you know one example of the British English translation. For example, the very important example, concrete, but this is a fil rouge of Ferenczi, of the father who put his tongue in the mouth of the daughter, and what happened after disappeared. But this is a very important example, because we are speaking in these days about confusion of tongues. And Ferenczi bring this example in the first papers, but in the English translation disappear. I would like to add another point, that we our age is 50, the younger of us, 60, more of us are near 70 and more than 70. We have to have young people. And seeing that one of the drama of our age and that our people, our sons and daughters, they have no job. Also the son and daughter, European of the psychoanalyst, also well known. Perhaps they are students, candidates in the society, but they have not 6-7 €100 amount to live. We can help young people, for example, diminishing the subscription to the conference. For example, the European conference decide to give low cost 50 euro for the conference instead of 500. But ahimè, they would like to have only 15 students, and these students have to be prepared 1 year to be ready to follow the EPF conference. Without this part, we have to help the young people to come. For example, I speak to Josette and in Toronto, from Europe, if you would like to have young people, 30, from 30 to 40, we have to diminish the subscription. Otherwise, they will not
here. Yeah, we are discussing the rates at the conference, and we're sensitive to the fact that not just for students, but for people in various parts of the world, it's a big expense. It's a major undertaking, and we're looking at not just cost of the conference, but cheap lodgings as well. Were if possible, we were thinking of putting a list together of people who might be able to put some people up in Toronto. But this is all for discussion, and as you can imagine, it depends on collaboration that we have with local agencies, and we have to do what we can, but we're not sure how much we can do.
Yeah, and then we're discussing it actually. And we're talking about the legacy of the archives. And I think that's one of the ways to transmit our legacy. And if you saw the title that we gave to the conference, it came from a little paper that Judith Dupont sent me, where she said how psychoanalytic mind came to her. And I love the expression. So we decided to call it the heritage of a psychoanalytic mind, not a psychoanalytic technique, not a way of doing, or a psychoanalytic mind. And I think we had here a wonderful example this weekend of a heritage of a psychoanalytic mind. And thank you to Judith for the organizing this. And maybe, André, since we're on that topic, we'll give you the four themes of the heritage of a psychoanalytic mind.
While they're doing that, I was just thinking that as these archives, not just these, but archives in general, are being digitized, some of the problem of access will be removed. And maybe the Freud Museum could take a lead in trying to make other archives available on a single portal or several portals. This has already been done by there are some other archives where this is already done. Like I'm thinking, I've been looking at the Niels Bohr archives in Copenhagen, and you don't even know where the originals are. But these things are accessible, and the same thing is true for different portals in different parts of the world.
Just a word about those archives. If you are interested in living archives, we are at, well, let's say two-thirds of the making of a film, a movie, about Judith Dupont. We have filmed her for 5 hours now. It's not yet finished. We still have about 3 or 4 hours to film in order to have enough rushes, you know, to choose. And we are going to ask for people who know, who knew her. Some of them are here to complete those documents. And, well, I'm very happy we started this about a month ago. And we try to finish it to complete it by Christmas, and then we'll try to elaborate this movie in two forms. One form that can be put on the TV or something like this, not very long, and another very long, purely documentary. You see, like archives and archives, and maybe the Freud Museum you'd be interested, and maybe the Freud Museum could buy this movie, which we would be very good for the production, because the production does it freely for the moment. For the moment, it's entirely free.
Yeah, we would love to be able to buy lots of movies, but in fact, there is a PEP project on for making movies, and there's some grants available, and we are thinking of trying to apply for one of those grants, but it would be for a different sort of project. But I mean, let's wish each other well, and we'll hope to exchange in future times.
Are there any other comments on the archives?
If I may introduce a highly emotional element, Gatti, you were there in Paris with me, with Judith, when the Freud Museum came to collect the archives. And I wondered if you'd just say some words, because it was a very, very wonderful, emotional scene. No, I can't. You are the analyst. I'm an interloper. And I was told to shut up by my wife. But it really was, I'm sorry, Judith. I'm speaking for once. Well, 27 years of experience.
Yes.
But it really was quite an incredible occasion on Île-de-France.
Yes,
when the Freud
yes.
Museum sent a Volvo and we took all the archives. And no, please, you are the person. But
thank you, Judy, for bringing that up, because you're absolutely right. So, Judith and I and Freddie was there. It's all on the website, she says. But it's true, there was a kind of passage where the Freud Museum sent two people, and we went to Judith's office on the Place Dauphine, and it was very symbolic. And then we had lunch together to celebrate, and the Freud Museum took the archives away, and this is what Stefan was talking about. Yeah, 1 year ago. Yeah. So I think this is a wonderful process, because it's good, it's right. There's something right about it. And this meeting also, I mean, the spirit of this meeting, I think, is linked to the archives. And this idea of the unconscious, the basis, the what's underneath, what's in the past, what's not dead, really. I mean, not forgotten. And maybe this whole process is an example of what John was saying, Jonathan was saying about what is forgotten, and this sort of false, the way Warsaw, and I'm afraid I find Prague like that too. It's become plastic. It's become a Disney world where, you know, it's just so breakable and just the facade and narcissistic. I suppose one could say it's narcissistic because it's beautiful, but it doesn't have anything underneath. And here we know, and I think that's given us a very good feeling. We know that we have the archives underneath. And it's just, to me, it's just becoming clear today, I mean now, that this is so important, and maybe this is why we have been able to have these dialogues because there is something from the past and we're looking towards the future. And I'm going to give Andre the, you know, Canada in the future. Voilà.
Thanks, Kathleen. Judith described what I am some time ago. I didn't even know I was a lost child. It was a tearful moment, but I realized that I have a heritage that I came from, and I was happy to be able to preserve it, to pass to receive the torch and maybe in my turn pass it on. But I want to thank all of the individuals who have contributed or who have organized conferences, including Kathleen, Judith, and Tom for this conference, of course. Judith Mesaros, who's not here. Who else is there? Am I forgetting somebody who's here? For all of you for having started... Oh, Franco, yeah. Many people who have started these conferences have started a movement, I think, a momentum. Manuel in Tel Aviv. Carlo is not here. Carlo in Florence. There have been many meetings. There's a momentum that's building up, and I'm very happy that you all have confidence in myself and Josette to carry on the torch, to carry on the baton, and to make another step forward in such meetings and Ferenczi conferences in thinking places. I think that was an important aspect of this conference. We want to preserve it, and Toronto as well, as having space to debate, to talk, to share our views and ideas. So, with that introduction, I want to tell you when it's happening and where. It's May 7 to 10, 2015. Now, it's important you remember 2015 because people confuse it with 2014. In Montreal, there's going to be a Congrès de langue française, which lots of people know about are going to go to. But this is the year after, in Toronto. And the title is Ferenczi, the Heritage of a Psychoanalytic Mind. En français, Héritage d'un esprit psychoanalytique. The significance of the translation is that it's going to be translated. It will be simultaneous translation. As many conferences, congresses in Canada, they're bilingual. So translation will be part of it. And we will also have panels or paper workshops that are not being translated, but it's only in French and only in English. So we want to certainly encourage our colleagues in France and in Quebec to attend, or any other place in the world that speaks French to attend. The four themes that the heritage encompasses that you'll find is a very all-encompassing kind of meeting. It's going to be trauma, process, mind, body, and society. So those are four themes. I think that, so if you have any paper that you'd like to submit, you'll probably be fall in one of those categories. So we will be calling for a call, making a call for papers probably in January when we have our website set up. So it's going to be soon. And at that point, I would encourage you all to submit papers, and we'd be happy to screen them, and hopefully we can have all of you accepted, but it depends on the numbers. If you think that you are not on our mail list, could you please make a note of my email address on the bottom, elcortar@shaw.ca, and send me an email, and I'll forward it to our secretary. We'll put you on the mail list. So that's what I wanted to say. Is there anything else, Josette, that we should cover?
Well, I think for the moment, we invite you all to join us
to another thinking space.
Any questions, comments before I give the last word to Judith? Oh, no.
No, for Carlo Bonò.
Ah, allora.
No, Carlo Bonomi tell to all you hello. He is not here because the wife, the mother of his wife died in Paris. But the mother of his wife was a famous person. And in these days, Belgrade give the government a funeral and he has to be there. I would like that to say to all you that Carlo has in mind a future conference, Sándor Ferenczi conference in Florence. Start to think about this. But
when? When?
No, because.
But when?
No, after Toronto. Oh. After Toronto.
That's good. You better be. Yes, you are still in the Medici. Yes.
Giselle.
I think I really want to stress the incredible gesture of Judy DuPont in donating the archives to us. And I want you to really, really appreciate it from this point of view. There are still hundreds of papers of Freud at the Library of Congress and not available to anybody's examination. Okay? These archives that DuPont donated here are without any restrictions. So this is an unbelievable potential that we have. And it will take time to fully appreciate it. But we have a pot of gold in our hands. And it is an incredible thing.
So I give the closing word to Judith Sekaj-Weiss.
Okay, so closing time then. I think what we would like to do now, in the name of the organizers, including Ivan, Stefan, Tom, Kathleen, as a guest, to thank you. To thank you for the participation. Thank you for being here and really taking part in this process, event, journey, call it whatever you want. And at this moment, I think time has come to say goodbye to this space, the thinking space, with Melanie's Ferenczi tapestry on the back wall. Think about where we have been and where we are going now. And I only want to say to you, take with yourself whatever you feel, that touched you or stays with you. Home. And wishing you a safe journey. And see you again. Au revoir. Arrivederci. Bis zum nächsten Mal. Bye.